Karima Brown, live,
online,
smartphones,
DSTV,
and 92.7
and 106 FM.
It's just gone 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Now, the Labour Registrar has issued a notice of its intent to cancel the registration of the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCO, which is headed by Mr. Joseph Matundwa. The move is set to result in a showdown between the union and the government on the cusp of the May 8 elections. Now, in 2014, Matundwa threatened that blocking the union from functioning could compel AMCO to transform into a political party. The notice issued in the Government Gazette yesterday said the Labour Registrar, Lehlohlonolo Daniel Molefe, was acting in terms of Section 106(2)(b) of the Labour Relations Act to cancel the union's registration. The reasons provided included that the union had ceased to function in terms of its constitution and that the trade union is not a genuine trade union as envisaged in the Act. Well, for all the details on this story and more, I'm joined by senior political reporter from Eyewitness News, Teto Mahlakwane. Teto, good evening. Welcome to the program. This is, of course, not a new story to you. You've been speaking to the registrar on the moves to actually deregister AMCO some 5 weeks ago. You obviously have spoken with him. We're so lucky that we've still got your clips of that interview. But this is not a surprise for you at all, hey?
Absolutely not. There's a number of things that the new, well, he's not so new anymore, that Advocate Lehlohlonolo Molefe had, clearly intended on acting on. And one of those issues was the non-compliance of trade unions across the country with the Labour Relations Act. He described, of course, an environment where unions had been in free fall for quite a while without any accountability with reason as to how they're functioning, as to why they're not informing members of decisions of the union and so on. So this move against AMCU is one of several actions he has taken. When we sat down with him 5 weeks ago, he made it very clear that, firstly, should AMCU not hold an elective congress by the end of May, he would have to move against it. Should AMCU not supply the registrar with sufficient enough reasons as to why it has failed to comply with other sections, as now he states in the notice, he would be forced to act against it, because the environment that we know, you know, having covered AMCU for quite a number of years, AMCU functions within, or even how, you know, the leadership functions and rules that organization, has left a lot of questions in a lot of South Africans' minds for a long time. And the mere virtue that there seemed to be nothing, you know, that could be done for a long time against this union, are eventually being answered. And I think this is the first move of such nature.
Okay, let's take a listen to your conversation with the registrar some 5 weeks ago, where he explained to you, you know, what is underway.
Pestering them, making sure that they comply with what the law is saying. So that is the commitment that we got from AMCU to say May 2019, they will hold their national congress. Mm-hmm. And we did indicate to them that we'll hold them to their word on that issue.
A failure which?
Failure which we will have to apply the law.
Now, there he says it. And of course, we now see it in action. I just want to remind our listeners that we've tried everything to get hold of the AMCU president, Mr. Joseph Matundwa, but he is not answering his phone. Now, the way in which a union can be deregistered has to obviously comply with certain legal prescripts. Firstly, what are those legal prescripts, Teto, and which of them have AMCU contravened, and is the registrar within his rights to act the way he did?
So the registrar explains it this way, that for a long time, AMCU has not, since its inception, in fact, about in 2012, when it was registered officially as a trade union, they have not held an elective congress. Now, whether Mr. Matundwa would be re-elected back to the position of president over and over does not matter. Bottom line is the workers must be given that option. This was not the case in AMCU's case. There's also the provision that requires that unions disclose all their finances. finances, audited financial statements annually to the registrar. We understand that that is one of the issues that has been lagging behind. Also, the mere fact that AMCUS is functioning according to its own constitution, which is the only provision in law that the registrar can hold against the union and say, sorry, you have committed to acting in this and that particular way. And by virtue of ceasing to exist within the guidelines or the provisions of that constitution, it suggests that you are now something else. You are no longer this, which you say is a trade union. Now, if the registrar wants to go ahead with this particular direction of cancelling the registration of AMCU as a trade union, of course, he needs to give them the kind of notice that he gave them. He's already done that. Mm. Now, the ball is in their court. They have to go to the registrar with all of the outstanding details that he requires of
By
them.
By when must they do that?
He does not actually notify when this should be done by. But in our interview, he said that by the end of May, there should have been a Congress. So it's our assumption that they still have that leeway, because even that decision is made out of an agreement, because the decision to cancel or deregister does not come overnight. It comes after a lengthy period of negotiation between the registrar, where he literally begs these officials to say, I don't want to deregister you. I don't want to put 250,000 somewhat members of this trade union out there on the streets without a body that is recognized in law. But I would want for you to come on board and give me what I need to say that you are actually, you know, acting in line with the provisions.
Mm-hmm. Now, AMCU is not a union that is a stranger to controversy. Its very birth was a controversy. It was as a consequence of a fallout with NUM. It's very well known that Gwede Mantashe, you know, was one of the key movers against the suspension and eventual axing of Matundwa out of the National Union of Mine Workers. But we've also had in recent times AMCU members themselves saying that their own lives are in danger, their own lives are threatened, and they cannot speak out against Mr. Matundwa. Teto, you've covered trade unions for a very long time. You know it intimately. What would you describe the characteristics of AMCU like? Were they different from other unions? Was there a culture of fear? Did AMCU function as a proper union or two? And we know, of course, many other unions in many other federations have similar problems. But in this instance, let's concentrate on AMCU itself. A, was it a proper trade union? Two, did it service its members? Three, did it function democratically?
Wow. So the first question, I think that could help us decipher a lot of those questions, is the fact that in the absence of Joseph Matundwa, AMCU does not have a voice, firstly.
And that already tells you something.
That already tells you something. There's an air of dictatorship around AMCU. It's always been there. Even when you attend AMCU press briefings, the manner in which Matundwa is worshipped, even in a press briefing where he's meant to be addressing members of the media, when you would have numbers of members and shop stewards from regions just to be present and sing and stand as he walks into the room, that says a lot. Secondly, it's stalked by violence, Karima. The mining industry has been known to be a very violent workplace for many years. But the level of violence that we have witnessed since the emergence of AMCU has been unparalleled. To such a degree that if you were to visit some of the Lonmin mines around Marikana, for example, you would not be able to speak to any mine worker, simply because whether they are affiliated to AMCU or not, they fear that they will be killed by virtue of being seen near a journalist. And those are some of the characteristics that we've come to observe, you know, and write about. I've written about it extensively as well, to say that there is something intrinsically wrong with an organization that can be allowed to reign in free fall without having any consideration for any of the laws that exist in the country. The manner in which they organize, you know, they collective bargain, all of those issues come up to say, but which prescripts are they functioning within? Because clearly the rules seem to be very different for them. And these are questions that, you know, we've asked for a long time, but because of the interferences that have existed within the Department of Labor, where the position of the Labor Registrar could not be exercised effectively, we have not seen a lot of movement on this case, or the two cases that Advocate Dufao Nolomulife is also following up on, of course, those involving Sepau and SAMU, which are waiting for a day to be set down to sit before the Labour Court and explain why they should not be placed under administration. So all of this is follow-up action of pretty much issues which have been in the public fora, which have been problematic. So this move by the Labour Registrar, of course, will force AMCU to be transparent, because in order to prove that you should remain a registered trade union, you would have to open your books up, something we've never been able to look at. You would have to explain how it is that your leadership structures are appointed, something we've never been party to as the media, as the only people who probably have a voice to communicate with this many AMCU members.
Teto Mahlakwana, thank you very much for that detailed explanation of what is happening in AMCU at the moment. And of course, it is now in AMCU's court to make the next move to prevent their members from being deregistered.